Hi all, Bald Phil here, and as I'm on my own, I've decided that this week we'll talk about two Disney theme parks, that'd be Magic Kingdom and Epcot. Also, we're going to talk about what Craig said to me about staying on site or off site. I'm going to try and do some price comparisons using some websites and see if we can make it cheaper or if the price is close enough that it's worth staying at Disney. Hope you enjoy.
Also, there may be swearing in this episode, so this may not be for young ears.
Yeah, just a quick cutout bit from me. I'm going to be putting a bit up, it's 30 minutes long in a minute, about iDrive hotels versus Disney on-site hotels. What I'm going to do to explain, to make it easier, because I do bring it up a few times on there, but I think I can make it confusing. I'm basing the rooms on 21 nights in September this year. Also, it's two adults and one child. Usually, these rooms will have, unless I state through it, we'll have two queen-size beds, a microwave, a fridge, a bathroom, a TV, free Wi-Fi for the rooms. So as I said, two queen beds, microwave, a fridge, a bathroom, and TV, and usually free Wi-Fi. So if it gets confusing, that's what I'm basing most of them on. Some of them have bigger rooms, but that will be brought up. So here we go. Hello everyone, it's Saturday. The weather's weird. One minute it's raining, next minute it's sunny. Typical British weather. Bit like Orlando, you know, when it pisses down with rain, except the only difference in Orlando is it comes down like there's no tomorrow. But 10 minutes later, you wouldn't even know it's rained. So I still prefer to be in Orlando. So I'm going to go into Craig's question first about the hotels versus each other for Disney on site against International Drive. Been looking at some prices. I'm just going to list a few of them off quickly and personally explain why I think it's probably better, from my opinion, if you're on a budget, to stay on iDrive. So what I've based it on is what I'm pretty much doing this year, not the whole family, I'm just doing it as one room though, but I'm doing 21 nights in September. Pretty much what I'm going to do is it has two adults with one child for the room, so we're going to go price wise. So unfortunately, quite a lot of the hotels are missing for the amount of nights I want, because of Star Wars Land's going to be, Galaxy Edge's going to be open, and everybody wants to go. So weekends and that, if you haven't booked them early, you couldn't get the rooms. So yeah, the cheapest Disney hotel I could find was Disney All-Star Sports Resort. You know, you get to enjoy like a sports themed hotel, sports themed pool, a games room. It's close to Disney Animal Kingdom. You obviously get included your extra magic hours and a magic band, what you use in your room to open your room door. You can pay your food with it if you physically wanted to. I've never have. I still use my card because I want to know what I'm paying for straight away, and I'll probably forget knowing me. I'll have a food court as well at the hotel. Yeah, anyway, that was £2,079 for 21 nights, right? The next cheapest one was Disney's Art of Animation. It's a big jump in price here, but the hotel is miles better because you can have like a family suite as well in there. That would be the Disney Art of Animation Resort. That came up as £2,709. I've stayed here quite a few times. I actually quite enjoy it, and I plan to stay here for two nights beginning of this holiday as well. Now, the Art of Animation has three pools, a standard Little Mermaid one, a standard smaller Cars one, and the biggest pool at Disney World for the hotels. It's got the Blue Lagoon one. It's set on Finding Nemo. It's pretty cool because when you put your head underwater, you can listen to music, or you can hear characters from Finding Nemo talking, what children like. It has a splash hour as well in the Finding Nemo. And you also, Lion King area, you have a little sort of play park area. It's all themed amazing, this hotel. You know, you have everything life-size or bigger than you, massively bigger than you. Little Mermaid area is all themed as Little Mermaid. They're just standard rooms. Two double beds, a sink, a bathroom, shower, and all that, and then just basic standard. Cars, Nemo, and Lion King, they have family suites in what basically has a front room and another bedroom, two bathrooms. What I think is fantastic, especially if you need the bathroom at exactly the same time as each other. The amount of times I have to run away to a part of a hotel normally if I need the toilet because someone's having a shower. Yeah, so the rooms have a sofa bed where you could easily sleep probably two people. I'm not sure what the bed's called. It's like a table. It looks like a table, and then you pull the bed down, and it's like a small double bed. You can fit two people on in there, and then obviously in the bedroom area, because the table and the sofa bed, I should say, are in the front room area where your kitchenette is, where your microwave, your mini fridge, your sink, and a coffee machine, I believe. In the bedroom, you have got a nice size, I would say, queen double bed. It has a TV in there, has its own bathroom, shower, as I said, and it's really nice and comfortable. You can have the doors shut, so if you're like a parent and you just want a little 5 seconds of peace and quiet, there you go. As I said, in the front room area, there's another bathroom as well. One of them's just a walk-in shower, one's a bathroom. So, but both have toilets in as well, if I remember. Yeah, and the front room has a TV as well, so you've got two flat screen TVs. So for the price, £2,209 for 21 nights is pretty good for that hotel, the Disney Art of Animations. Now I started looking on a different site, Alpha Rooms for Hotels, Disney versus International Drive again. It's saying Walt Disney's World of Swan. And now, don't go by these prices. I reckon you can find them cheaper everywhere, personally. It was a 10-minute look for me, only using one site, and I should have really looked around and a lot more. But yeah, the Walt Disney World Swan Hotel, it was saying for 21 nights, £4,372. Massive jump in price. Very nice hotel, what I can tell, if you want to stay there. But that, it's your choice. The other one, what's come up, is a lot nicer hotel than the Swan. By the way, the Swan is a 4-star. Art of Animation, 3-star, and I think the sports one is a 2-star. But the next one I've got up, I'm not sure if this price is right or if it is. Whew, damn, you spent some money. But I have visited this hotel and had a nose around it, and I think it's a fantastically themed hotel with the animals and that. It's probably worth staying at. And if I could afford it, I would. I'm not gonna lie, I'd stay here. It's the Disney Animal Kingdom Lodge. You escape into a secluded African lodge style resort. Amidst 33 acres of tropical savanna, you've got your pools and that. I'm not sure your rooms are 100% nice. I haven't been in the rooms, but it's for 21 nights, it's £9,330. Ouch. Now, the cheapest stuff I could find in Disney area, if you were clever enough, you could go to Disney Area Standard Villas. Basic general information, sold in the 19th century building. Just loads of bedrooms. They're like 3 stars. You can get them around 1,329 to $1,383. That a Disney Standard Villas 3-star. The $1,383 is a Disney Area Exclusive Superior Villa. So if you want to be really near Disney but you can't afford the Disney hotels, look into the villa situation. You can get some amazing prices. I mean, 21 nights, £1,329. Fantastic. I'd probably pay a bit more and go to the 1,383. What's that for you? Talking about maybe £60 more, I think, off the top of my head. I'm probably wrong. I'm not the greatest at maths, but £60 more for a superior villa, I'd probably just go and do that. And be near Disney. Obviously, you're gonna need a car hire, or if you're willing to pay for Uber quite a lot, because you're gonna be doing an Uber or Lyft. But I suppose the other positives are you could go to a Walmart, buy shitloads of food, cook yourselves. I know some people don't want to cook on holiday, and you basically got to clean, but you're going to have your own private pool, and it's going to be living in like a massive house. If you live in a normal English house, you know what I mean, boring, dreary, small things, to these nice spaced out ones with your own private pool area. Right, now if you're wondering, if you do want to stay in a hotel, this is prices I got on Alpha Rooms for International Drive. Now, some of these hotels will have a resort fee, and I'll tell you which ones do resort fees. I can't tell you the price of them, but always check before you book if the resort fee's added on, and if it's not, how much it's going to cost for you to get there. It's very rare, but some hotels do it in Orlando. It's a bigger thing in New York, I believe, and maybe Vegas. Right, so the first one's a Rosen Inn Point on International Drive. This is a basically nice hotel. I think it's got two or three pools max, right in the heart of International Drive, near loads of restaurants, pubs, drinking areas, things to do like Wonderworks and that. That comes up for 21 nights. They count this as a three-star hotel with your bedroom. It has two double beds. I could say actually queens, really. Microwave and a fridge and a bathroom. I think it has a little park there as well for the children. And if it's like the International, it's got a pub, say a couple of pools, maybe three. Yeah, anyway, as I was saying, the Rosen Inn International Point Orlando comes up as £1,032 for 21 nights. Massive price difference, as you see straight away. It's right in the heart of International Drive area. What's fun, you know, crazy golf and that. Also, these resorts usually do a free or by booking or a small payable fee to get theme parks, to get to the theme parks, I should say, on a coach. Sometimes I think Universal Rosen's free. Don't quote me on this, but it's free to get to on their coach and back, you know, selected times. And you have to pay for the Disney one. SeaWorld's down the road. So in theory, you could get on the nice little green bus or a Lynx bus. And, you know, if you pay for a 2 week or a 3 week pass on that, you can save quite a lot of money going up and down International Drive, unless you want to walk it, but it can be a massive walk in the heat with children, may not be a good idea. Right, so that was £1,032. The next one coming up, I mean, I've got a loads of International Drive price-wise compared to what we were getting for Disney, because, as I say, location's cheaper, but you're very close to all the areas, the theme parks. If you get an Uber, you know, you're talking about 10, 15 minute drive to Disney, I'm guessing. Universal Studios, you're talking about, if traffic lights ain't against you, you could get down that road in 5 to 7 minutes. So yeah, the next hotel is also a three star, is the Rosen Inn closest to Universal. So that's more down the other end of International Drive, less places to eat there. But, you know, as I said, there's still choices. You're not far from McDonald's and places like that. And you can get on the little green bus or a Lynx bus and get down to the other end and you can eat out. Pretty much the same sort of hotel. I think it's one big pool there, though. It's a different style of hotel. It's a long, high tower. I think it's got a restaurant in it as well. But yeah, that comes up, you know, with a room. Yeah, again, I'm going to explain. Most rooms on International Drive have two queen beds, you know, microwave, fridge, TV, and a pool area. So yeah, that comes up as £1,445. Yeah, again, cheap as chips. And another thing I definitely know of International Drive hotels, that's the price for the room if there was one of you, if there was four of you in that room. If you need a fifth person, the little hint you could do is don't get another room if you don't want to. Yeah, again, budget. What you could do is go down to Walmart, buy a blow-up bed. I think they're about, you know, that basic one, $15. And the hotel would mostly give people pillows and extra bed anyway with no extra charge. Another hotel which a bit more money though is the Avanti Resort Orlando. This one has a charge on it when you show up, one of them charges I was talking about. Pretty much, not sure how much is, never stayed there, but I know that the Avanti do resort fees. But yeah, again, double room, Paranormal for 21 nights. You're talking with all the same amenities, double bed, TV, fridge, kettles, bathrooms, TVs. Most of these hotels have free Wi-Fi as well. It's $1,158. So still a hell of a lot cheaper than Disney. If you want to go super cheap, I've never stayed there, and I would always recommend when you see these sort of prices to check into. These are all under $1,000. What I'm going to do now is they're all on iDrive. I'm going to read them all off with their prices. Just expect all of them to have, as I said, the rooms, two queen beds, TV, fridge, maybe iron boards and that, bathroom and basic, and maybe a pool at there's usually a pool at the hotel. So I'm not going to keep on saying every room from now on how many beds there are in the rooms. Just off the top of head, you go, right, I'm booking a hotel in International Drive. Right, there's going to be two queen beds probably in the room. There's going to be a fridge, a microwave, a bathroom and a TV. And the hotel's probably going to have a pool. Some of the hotels are not indoors, your bedroom doors. They'll be like outdoors, so more like motels. But, you know, it doesn't make a difference. So I'm not listing that stuff off anymore. I'm just going to tell you the prices because there's so many to go through. So we got the Momentum Movie Land, I think. £861. 21 nights, all of them again. And then you've got the Clarion Inn and Suites at International Drive. £866. 21 nights, wow. Then the Baymore Inn and Suites Orlando. So this one might have, you know, like, slightly bigger room, so when you look into that one there might be some price differences for a bigger room. That's £877 still, though, if we go basic in there. All them three I've just said, three star. We then move on to the Coco Keys Hotel and Water Resort. Now this one has a little water park at the back. Now I believe you get 2-3 days into the water park if you stay at this hotel. And then you have to pay to get in, but I think you get a discounted price if you're staying here. Anyone can use their very small water park, but I believe we all have to pay, obviously, to get in. And it's obviously a capacity. I've never used it because with all my theme park tickets, I've got water parks. And I'd rather go down to a Universal Aquatica or a Disney Blizzard Beach or Typhoon Lagoon water park. Anyway, Coco Key is meant to be a 4-star. And it's £975 for 21 nights. Looking at Rosen, we've got another Rosen in International. I've stayed at this, and on my YouTube channel, what I will try and add to the show notes is the Rosen in International. This one has two pools. Has a kids park. No swing, but, you know, slides, climbing up stuff and all that. It has a very good pub in it. Usually has karaoke or live music in its pool tables there. The two pools, they've got kiddie paddling pools at it as well. Standard rooms again. You've got a food court there, a shop in there. And it's right behind the biggest entertainment McDonald's in the world. So it's in a nice location. You can walk to Walmart from there. If it's your first trip, maybe don't do it first time and try. I walk it. I've been so many times. I never walk back. I always get an Uber or a Lyft back, depending who's doing cheaper. But yeah, the Rosen International is a 3-star, and it's coming up as £987 when I looked. Another hotel, it used to be the International Palms, a bit further down the road, near a Coca Keys area, will be near Universal Endless Summer Resort. To give you an idea, if you know where that is, where Wet n Wild used to be. You've got the Avante Palms Resort. As I say, it used to be the International Palms. It was derelict and disgusting as the International Palms towards the end. Avante shut it down for about a year. They've done a nice new pool. Reception area is amazing. Its food court is beautiful. The pool's been done well. Rooms have been done up, but not to the highest of standards. So it's basic. But just don't expect, you know, 4 or 5-star room from any of these hotels, but this one is very basic. They've all got aircon as well. I keep on forgetting to add the aircon, But the Avanti Palms also has a resort fee. I should remember, I stayed in it last year for a couple of nights to have a nose. Yeah, again, I've got a video on my YouTube of the hotel. I will try and put it into the show notes so you can all see it. But that was coming up. Now, if that's with a resort fee or not, as I said, always check. £976. Then we go to what I think is a nice place to stay. It's meant to be 4-star, never stayed out. I think it's a spa hotel. It's all, yeah, again, on Sassel Drive near all the theme parks. It's the Westgate Lakes Resort and Spa. Now, I think a standard room in there is, yet again, £1,940. Phew, cheap. Now, I'm confused about one here I'm seeing. It's a Sun Seoul International Drive. It's looks like it's been redeveloped. You know, everything's been done. New pool. I'm not sure why the rooms have been done. It's only a 2-star, but it's £1,131. So it's either a new hotel built or it's been a hotel that's been totally done up top to bottom. And that's why they're justifying their prices. But, you know, as I said, on them prices. If you want something right near Seaworld, though, on International Drive, I've always heard great reviews about the Double Tree by Hilton Orlando near SeaWorld. That's £1,162. Have you noticed how many hotels I'm going through here? What still ain't the price of bloody Disney? Another one I know of is a County Inn and Suites Universal 3-star. I think it's just behind some hotels or near Titan, but just behind, but it's only like a 2-minute walk onto iDrive. So you get suites, so you probably get two beds and a sofa bed there. It's £1,243. Still a darn sight cheaper. So when people stay on site, yeah, you get the free transportations on site, but you're stuck at Disney. So if you're only doing Disney, yeah, that's fine. But if you want to go Universal and that, you've still got to pay to go out. You got the Wyndham's Orlando Resort and International Drive. That's a 4-star, apparently. I think I know where this is. I think it's near McDonald's again, this one. That only comes up as £1,450. Holiday Inn and Suites. Near a Universal, this one is, but it's a 3-star. And that's probably because it's probably very near Universal. It's £1,566. Westgate Palace Resort comes up as £1,776. I personally wouldn't stay there. It's slightly off of iDrive, and I think at night time the area a bit dark and shady. I'm not trying to scare people off the hotel, I could be wrong. When I walked down there, I didn't feel 100% safe. It's just my opinion looking around. We've got another hotel I've stayed at, and it's the Ramada Plaza Resort and Suites International Drive. Now, I've brought this one up because I'm going to go through prices, because if you stay in the old tower or a standard room, the rooms can be hit and miss. They were refurbing them last time I was there, so they could be all nice now. But the annual price, £1,915 for a standard room. Now, in the newer tower, I love all the rooms. And this one is a hotel I love. It's got a downstairs pool. The only problem is with the downstairs pool, it looks on the lake. What we'll look across to the end of the summer resort is it gets shaded very quick. The sun's blocked out. But yeah, a standard room is £1,914. But if you're in the new tower, you've got a few choices for like a suite. You've got a luxury non-refundable suite, £1,984. Two massive queen beds in the bedroom area, your bathroom. And then you've got your front room with an L-shaped sofa bed. Fantastic. You've got your kitchenette with two hobs, a microwave oven and a fridge. The bedroom and the front room also have a TV. Now, all the suites look the same, but the only difference is if you can afford it, get a club level suite. Reason for this, on the roof. So you can see down iDrive and that, great views and that. Not as high as Universal's new hotel, but it was the first one, as far as I know, on that Universal area where I had rooftop access. Now on the roof, if you're in a club level suite, you get a free bar to drink, soda drinks, water, I think juices and beers and I'm not sure about wines and that. There's a couple of wines what are cheap and free up there. It's a very basic bar. You've got your sun lounges, we'll get sun all day. You've also got a mini pool and a hot tub jacuzzi up there. I love it up there. So when I stay there, I'm up there a lot. It's beautiful, sun all day. It's not very crowded up there. And not everyone can go up there unless you're in a club level suite or you have to pay for a day up there. So, club level suite for me. That's a 3-star hotel. You've also got the DoubleTree Hotel at the entrance to Universal Studios. That one's £1,975. Another one in the heart of Interstellar Drive, where all the restaurants and that are again, is the Soniesta Suites. A one bedroom standard suite with bed and breakfast will get you can get for £795. I'm not sure what a three packs room is, but apparently that's £872. And a two bedroom standard suite, fantastic price for 71 nights. Ah, see, I haven't been looking at this properly, people. On that one, I forgot to change it to total hotel price. So, one, two, three. You're talking over 1,200 and something pound, 3,000 and something pound for that. So, if you want to be on an iDrive, you want to spend expensive, you're talking the Soniesta Suites. I'm just going to check through it all now that all the other ones say hotel price. As I can see, yep, all the other ones were hotel prices. Not sure why I didn't do that one as a hotel price, but we got to the bottom of it before I completely fucked it up. So I was just thinking, damn, why don't I stay here if it was $1,000 for 21 nights? Whew, lucky Phil, clocked that one early. Yep, actually, I didn't. I'm a genius. I'm looking at my screenshots and I did do it. So a one bedroom standard suite, bed and breakfast. £2,387. A three packs is 2,616, and a two bedroom suite 3,217 on your bike. Nothing's worth that money much on International Drive, in my opinion. It says it's a 4-star. I think it's okay, but the rooms are big, so maybe look into yourself and you choose. But I wouldn't pay that much. So yeah, that's the prices. So what I'm going to quickly do now is I'm going to mass out the cheapest Disney hotel against a, say, the Ramada club level suite. And then Disney All-Star Animal Resort. And obviously, the other two Disney hotels. I'm going to give you a price comparison. So I'm just going to use the Ramada and Rosen Inn as price comparisons for you. Right, so if we put the Disney Art of Animation up against, say, the Ramada Plaza in a club level suite, this is what I was figuring out. So if it was £2,709 for the Art of Animation for 21 nights, the Ramada Plaza with the club level suite is 2,483. That's a savings of £226. So you know, a couple hundred quid, maybe better to stay at Disney if you don't want to, if you're not worried about a club level suite. But if you put it up against the standard 3-star hotel, the Rosen Inn International, now this is where you're saving money. So as I said, 2,709 for the Art of Animation, and the Rosen Inn, we're talking 987. That's a saving of £1,722. That's a lot of cash for people, and that's a good price comparison, I personally think. Yeah, so standard room at the Rosen Inn against the Art of Animation, as I said, is a £1,722 you can save on top and spend on anything else you want. Now I'm going to do just one hotel against each other here because they're both basically the same sort of hotels type of rooms. And I can pledge for, as I said, the Rosen International because I've stayed there. So it's not as themed like Disney is. That's amazingly themed. But the Disney All-Star Sports Resort is £2,080. Now you put that up against the Rosen Inn, what is £906. That's a saving of £1,094. So nearly £1,100 saving there. So your choice is staying on site if you're just doing Disney for an extra just over £1,000 for better theme area outside and bigger pools maybe, and free shuttles to all the Disney theme parks and Disney Springs. But if you're going to all the theme parks, my personal opinion is the Rosen Inn. If anybody's got any more questions for me, I'm going to do Kissimmee versus International Drive areas on prices in a later date. But for, yeah, as I said, if anybody's got any questions about my pricing and, you know, if they want to go into something else more deeper, please send me a message on. Right, I'm re-recording this while walking my dog. When I got to the part of asking if you wanted to ask me any questions and giving you where to get hold of me, I noticed the recording went blank. Like, I listened back, so you can hear cars right now, unfortunately, sorry. But the answer pretty much is, if you want to ask about the hotels, the areas, anything about them, you can get hold of me on Gmail at baldphil@gmail.com. That's baldphil@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at Addict Orlando. I have a Facebook page you can like, the Orlando Addict. Just be careful, there's a group called the Orlando Addicts and they try to open a like page as well. Long story. Well, I used to be admin on there, they don't get on with me anymore because they were arguing with other groups and I found it kind of pathetic, all the stuff, so I just walked away. But that's a story maybe I'll share for another podcast in the future if you're interested. But as I said, Gmail, get hold of me on baldphil@gmail.com. baldphil@gmail.com. As I said, International Drive, it's got bowling alleys, cinemas, pubs, clubs, restaurants. It's got the Orlando Bloody Eye. It's got mini golf, Wonderworks, Ripley's Believe It or Not, the Titanic Experience, fun spots nearby. This is all off the top of my head. So if you want to save the money and try different things, International Drive's a place for you to go.
It's the Florida News Time.
Yes, on Florida News, I'm only going to bring up one thing. Everyone's talking about the new Hagrid ride at Universal Studios Orlando. Muggles waited 10 hours through rainstorms to ride the new Hagrid roller coaster at Wizarding World of Harry Potter. I believe it's in Islands of Adventure at Universal Studios. So, committed Harry Potter fans proved the Muggles would do just anything to be part of this, of the magic still. Droves of people waited in line for 10 hours to ride the new Hagrid roller coaster in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Universal Studios, Orlando. The name of the ride is actually Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure. Yeah, I'm just going to call it the Hagrid's Motorbike Adventure. Drew crowds to the park before it even opened. Once they got inside, the wait for the ride was 600 minutes. That was at like 9:20 a.m. in the morning. By 2 p.m, I think the wait time went down to 300 minutes. Still 5 hours, people. Wow. It also rained on the day, what's typical in Orlando this time of year, but, you know, people probably didn't need that. So, you know, people working in parks must have been stressful for them as well. Also dealing with loads of people in the heat and rain. A lot of people saying the roller coaster was worth the 10-hour wait. Not me, personally, but that's them. I do know in the line they were giving out free waters to people as well, and there was a DJ playing music, so it wasn't just 100% boring. So, yeah, pretty much a lot of people saying it's probably the best ride at Universal now. I go in September, so hopefully the ride time queues will only be an hour max. If longer, I'm staying at Universal Endless Summer Resort in Surfside Inn, so I get the early park hour. So if it's not an early park hour ride, I will be waiting literally just to steam to it on purpose to get in it, and I want to try it. So yeah, the Hagrid's bike ride, as I'm calling it, that's the news. And people did it for towns. It opened this week, I believe, last week on Thursday, and people went mad for it. So if that was 10 hours, It's over to you, Disney and Galaxy Edge for Star Wars. We'll see what nutty times you have for that. Probably be like a 3-week line just to get on the ride. So pretty much, yeah, very short Florida news, but news nonetheless. We could add that there was showings of the new Universal End of the Summer Surfside Inn press went in there. Rooms look fantastic. It's Universal's cheapest hotel right now. Nice sized pool, what looks like the lake. Yeah, but I'll go into that when I'm there in September. I want to talk about that hotel. So that's it for the Florida news. Right, time to wish me luck, as I'm going to try and figure off all the attractions and rides at the Magic Kingdom first at Disney World Orlando. I haven't done them all, but I said I'm going to try and remember them. The ones I've done, I'll try and talk a bit more. But I'm going to try and make this a bit shorter because I'm sure you don't want to hear my voice all bloody day. It's nearly as bad as listening to the Small World song. Right, so first one I can think of is Astro Orbiter. Any heights allowed on there? It's a slow ride, spinning. It's in the Magic Kingdom, obviously, in Tomorrowland. So, yep, that's for anybody, family. Usually two people sit together, one behind the other, and you spin around in the circle and get some great views up there. Next one's a kid's roller coaster, the Barnstormer. I think the height is 35 inches, 89 centimeters or taller. Has small drops. You can fast pass plus this. That's in Fantasyland. Next one, Big Thunder Mountain Railway Road, one of my favorite roller coasters ever. Great theming on this as well. The height, 40 inches, 102 centimeters or taller. Small drops again. It's a thrill ride. It's a classic. It's a fast pass plus. It's interactive as well, and that's in Frontierland. Then we've got Buzz. Phil, say Buzz. It's not hard. Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. It's a slow ride. It spins. It's fast pass plus. It's fast pass. Why can't I say that? It's indoor, is interactive, so basically it's a shoot 'em up. You have like a little gun on your car, the person you're sitting next to a ride. You shoot a thing so you can get the most points. Then we've got Casey Jr. Splash and Soak Station. It's a, you know, like in a walk park when you get all the fountains coming up, getting you wet. What's great for children and that to run around in on a really hot day. They call it a water ride. It's just a standing flat area. It's interactive play around in it. It's a play area. That's in Fantasyland, any height. You know, Cinderella's Castle, the stuff that you can do inside there. I think they've got the Bippity Boppity Boop Boutique in it, plus shows on it with fireworks and light projection shows on it and other types of shows when Mickey and that show off and talk to you and play with you and you can sing and dance. That's obviously in Fantasyland. Then we've got the Country Bear Jamboree. Any height. Classic indoor stage, so that's in Frontierland. Then we've got Dumbo the Flying Elephant, a slow ride. It's one of them spinning rides again, when you just spin around in a circle, you can push it to make it go up and down. It's a fast pass, it's interactive in Fantasyland. Enchanted Towers with Belle, so you go in different parts of like the building, the castle. It's like a story, they tell you stuff, they get the children to interact and join in and do loads of stuff. It's really fun. My niece did it last year and really enjoyed it. Yeah, again, any high. That's in Fantasyland. Frontier Shooting Arcade, well, that sort of gives it away. It's interactive and shooting in Frontierland. Hall of Presidents, haven't done it, never planned to do it. I know it's a big thing for the Americans, so I respect you for that, but I'm not really interested in the history of the American. But if you've got your kids off of school and you're trying to justify it, maybe a bit of a history lesson in there for you. That's classically, it's indoors, it's in Liberty Square. Then we get to one of my favorite rides, the Haunted Mansion. Any height, slow ride. It's dark in places, it's fast pass plus indoors. You see like all the ghosts and that, you know, story and that. It's brilliant. I recommend it to anyone. The theme is brilliant to this one. It's a Small World, My Idea of Hell, it should be called. Any height is a slow ride. Yet again, it's one of the Disney classics. Fast pass plus, why you would fast pass it, God knows why. It's indoors. Listen to the song 5,000 million times over, what does my head in. different little dolls in different parts of the world. The song does get sung in different languages. I hate this ride. And once in France, not Orlando though, I got stuck on it. Oh my God. Oh, I wanted to bash my head in. I hate it that much. But, you know, I do it for the family. That's any height. Jungle Cruise, that's quite a bit of fun. I think they've just made a movie on that as well with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So keep an eye out for that, everybody. That's any height. It's a slow ride. Rumour is Walt wanted real animals but wasn't allowed, so they're animatronics. They don't look super great, but they're okay. A bit dated. But it's a fun story ride. The person who rides the boat, drives the boat, I should say, usually joins in and makes it more fun for you. You got the Liberty Square River boat. That's any height. It's just a boat going around a lake. You know, old fashioned type of boat. Not my cup of tea, but whoever wants to. Mad Tea Party. That's a spinning classic. You know, like the spinning cups. You go in and you spin it and you make it as fast as possible or as slow as possible as you want, depending on how you spin it. By the way, the Magic Tea Parties in Fantasyland and Liberty Square River boat is in Liberty Square, Jungle Cruise, Adventureland, and it's a Small World Nightmare after all, Fantasyland. Got the Magic Carpets of Aladdin. It's a slow ride, it's spinning. Yeah, again, it's a lot like Dumbo. One of them type of rides. So you can make it go up and down, interactive, two parts, two people can sit next to each other, I should say. That's any height. Something different than attraction. You've got Main Street vehicles. You see them go up and down. Old-fashioned vehicles. So they're quite fun to see and take photos of. That's in Main Street, USA. And I'm not sure if I said the Magic Carpet of Aladdin's in Adventureland. Then we've got the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. I have got no clue on what that is. It's an indoor interactive thing, though. So if it is open, give it a go. That's in Fantasyland. If I don't say, like, you know, about a height, it means any heights now. Because pretty much anyone's allowed in. Then we've got the Mickey's Filler Magic. Classic Disney princesses. You get your photos with them and everything. I think it's also an indoor stage show. That's in Fantasyland. Then we got Monsters Inc. Laugh. That's quite a funny interactive show. They can get audience participation in it as well. You don't have to, so don't panic if you don't want to. But yeah, they get you to join in. That's obviously Monsters Inc. That's in Tomorrowland. Peter Pan of Flight. Did it years ago. Would love to do it again, but the lines always seem massive for this one. It has small drops. It's a slow ride though. So Disney classic, it's indoors. Very enjoyable. So if you've never done it, please try it out. You'll enjoy it. You've got a Pirates Adventure. Yeah, Pirates Adventure Treasure of the Seven Seas. Not too sure, so I can't really go into that. But that's in Adventureland. Peter Pan's in Fantasyland and Monsters Inc. in Tomorrowland. Pirates of the Caribbean. Right, I enjoy that. Any height, small drop, slow ride, dark, classic indoors, it's interactive. You know, animatronics, great theming. You feel like you're in a pirate, you're in a boat with people, and you know, ho, 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 a pirate's life for me. That song goes on quite a lot. I enjoy it, and I'll tell anybody to do that one actually. Sometimes queues are big, sometimes it's a walk on, it's just a bit of luck. Then that's obviously in Adventureland as well. We've got Prince Charming Regal Carousel. Just a typical horse carousel sort of thing. You can sit a parent with a child on it, or you can sit on your own. That's in Fantasyland. Got something called Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. Kids, tweens, teens and adults can all do this. Cast magical spells throughout Magic Kingdom Park to defeat dastardly Disney villains. So that sounds quite fun. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. This has a height of 38 inches, 97 centimeters or taller. Small drops, free ride, Interactive roller coaster. I think the queue is interactive and there's bits of screens in it. Never been on it. The queue's always too long, but something I really should do. Space Mountain indoors roller coaster, one of their grown up more rides. Its height is 44 inches, that's 113 centimeters or taller. Big drops, thrill ride, dark and classic. So you're pretty much on a roller coaster inside. There's no loops, but there's turns and that, as far as I can remember. And it's pitch black inside with a few flashes every once in a while. That's in Tomorrowland. Then you've got Space Mountain. Space Mountain, I've made a new ride, everybody. It's called Splash Mountain. It's got big drops. It's a thrill ride. It's a water ride, so you get wet on it. Not super wet. I've never been super wet on it. Some people have, though. That's in Frontierland. Yeah, again, great theming for that. Then you've got the Swiss. Oh, yeah, before I go to the Swiss, you've got Splash Mountain height is 40 inches. That's 102 centimeters or taller. Swiss Family Tree is just pretty much a tree. You go up and down and look around from the old-fashioned stories. Any hype for that? That's in Adventureland. In Tomorrowland, we have Tomorrowland Speedway. I'm not sure how much longer that's around for. I've heard it's going, but I don't know when. Height 32 inches or 82 centimeters or taller. Two people sitting next to each other. It's just basically pretend to drive a sort of diesel-smelling car around on a track. It's sort of connected to the bottom, so you can't just drive and crash places, but it's interactive and children seem to love that. You've got the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover. You get to look around Tomorrowland. Also, you get to go inside Space Mountain, and if the lights are on, you get to see loads of stuff. It's quite fun. Or you see people on the ride and or the queue, and you can wave at them. That's also in Tomorrowland. You've got Tom Sawyer Island. You basically look around back in the olden days, real olden days, and it's just a nice place to look around and get really good photos in. And that's in Frontierland. Then we got Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid. Any height, it's a slow ride. Disney Princess, The Little Mermaid, interactive story on the ride as well. Loads of children love it. I think there's a little story just before you get on in the waiting area as well. What can be quite good sometimes in the waiting area if it's a really hot day because it's air conned in there. Then a classic, one of Walt's first things he set on the road, but now in the theme park, and I love it. A lot of people don't, but it's a classic from Walt, so why wouldn't you love it? Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress. That's a classic indoor story going through the history times of America to modern day to what they think the future is. Pretty much the future is modern day now, though, so they really need to update that. But I think it's Tom Hanks's voice on it. It's a great big beautiful tomorrow. See, I remember that song as well. It's stuck in my head. That's in Tomorrowland. Under the Sea Journey, The Little Mermaid, if I forgot to say, is in Magic Kingdom. I'm not sure what area. That's a bit strange. They don't say the area, so I can't actually tell you. It just says Magic Kingdom Park, so you have to hunt that one down. Well done, Disney. I said, Tom Sawyer Island, what I got to earlier. Travel by log raft to a secret rustic hideaway inspired by stories of Mark Twain. So that gives you an idea. It looks quite interesting in there, though. Right, let's get to the last few. We've got the Walt Disney Enchanted Tiki Room. That's indoors. And I think, if I'm right, it's tropical birds, tiki gods, and colourful flowers come to life and swinging South Sea musical extravaganza. We've got the railway, the Walt Disney World Railway, Fantasyland, Frontierland, and Main Street USA. Apparently, all closed right now, so when you go, it could be open, but it's closed right now for refurbishments. But that just takes you around the park. So if you don't want to walk around, you could get on the train and just join a train rail around, a train ride around. Pirates of Walt Disney World Resort. Not 100% sure what that is, but it says it's it's shut anyway, so unavailable. And Stitch is been shut for ages, and I don't think it's going to reopen. Maybe it might open for special occasions, but until they decide to replace it with something else. But Stitch Great Escape, a lot of people get sick on that. Apparently, it's not a ride, but I think it's just the room, the lights, and everything make a lot of people feel ill. As I said, you've got the Magic Kingdom, you've got the fireworks on the castle and that at night time. What's brilliant, and the projection show. I recommend them to anyone. So that's pretty much Magic Kingdom on the rides and that. Loads of places to eat. Not going to talk about them. You can hear about them from a YouTube page. What's called DFB Guides. That's Disney Food Food Blog Guide. They're on YouTube. They go through a lot of all the theme parks and Disney Springs, telling you what you can eat in there and, you know, different things. They show you videos of the food and that. Oh god, it makes me so hungry just thinking about them. I actually quite enjoy liking them, so if you could, I'll add them to the show notes as well, if you could subscribe to them on YouTube as well, and maybe give me a shout out the Orlando Addict in the comments so they know that I've sent you to them. I'm not friends with them, I don't know them, I just think they're very good bloggers. So that's a DFB guide, as I said, Disney Food Blog Guide, and you can see into all the foods at all the theme parks and Disney Springs and some of the hotels. So my thoughts on Magic Kingdom, I love it. I'm more of a Universal fan for the rides, but Magic Kingdom is the family area. You gotta have a smile there. It's a great place. I've also a little tip, if you can get the kitchen sink ice cream thing, oh fantastic. You can take a little souvenir home if you get the little red one. You can take it home with you and use it as a cereal bowl or something, or anything like that. It's a fun little thing to do right near the castle, that is. So it's not hard to find. Yeah, Magic Kingdom, if I was going to give it a mark out of 10, though, I'd give it a 9.7 out of 10. Just, I feel like it could have done with a couple more adult-y rides, you know, just for teenagers and that, to enjoy it more. Otherwise, for young families, brilliant. Couples and that. You can also get a photo pass for Disney. In England, it comes with 90% of the time, if you buy them from like Attraction Tickets Direct, Florida Tix, people like that, you get the photo pass, and you get all your photos from the photographers in the parks. They get sent to the app, you get them all free, so you can download them, print them up yourself, or put them on your Facebook, on your PCs, laptops, anything, on your phones. So that's just a nice little tip there for people to know about from the UK. It costs money in America. I'm not sure how much. It's quite expensive. I'm sure it's over $100. But it should survive, last the whole of your stay to the theme parks. So yeah, it's a great little thing to have, I think. Here's the Magic Kingdom. What we're going to do now is move on to Epcot, and I'm going to go through all them. Right, mother funsters, let's get into Epcot, shall we? So I'm just going to read off the website for this, for the attractions, and then I'm going to give you something fun to do at the end for an adult. Right, so we've got the Advanced Training Lab. Now, the Advanced Training Lab is at any height. It's in Future World in Epcot. And pretty much what you do here is train through your next Mars mission at a high-tech play area featuring space-themed games and its activities for all ages. I've actually done this with my nephew when he was younger, and it was so much fun. Any heights, so that's a fun thing to do. So give it a go, peeps. So if you want to do a bit of homework on America, you've got the American Adventure. That's any height, all ages as well. And pretty much what you do here is you feel the spirit that propelled the Americans, well, America the country, to the greatness in the inspiring retelling of the nation's history. So that's quite a good one. Yet again, if your children's off school and you want to justify that they're learning to the schools, because you can learn more sometimes, I think, at the theme parks than you do in school about the utter crap they still teach in school sometimes. That's in the World's Showcase. That's an indoor stage show. We've got the American Heritage Gallery. I presume that's anybody indoors, just galleries of photos and history of America. I'm not sure if I can say this. The Bitsui Khan Gallery. Yeah, again, another gallery. I'm guessing that's like, I'm sorry if I'm wrong, Japanese and that. Should I check? So let's have a check. I'm going to click on it and we're going to find out. because I don't want people to, he doesn't know it. And you'd be right, because I don't know it, but I'd like to put the right fact out for it. It says, enjoy a delightful and charming kawaii Japan's cute culture and gallery dedicated to Japanese art. I thought it was any height, any age. Again, so a bit of culture for people out there. I'm not very cultured myself. You probably can tell by the way I talk. But, you know, if you want a bit of culture, enjoy it. Then you got Bruce Shark World. I love it in there. That's in Future World, by the way. Interactive little game things. You can get in Bruce's mouth and have your photo taken. My niece did it last year. Loved the photo. Makes my day every time. As I said, that's in Future World. That's any height and it's indoors. Apparently got something called Corys Disney Animals. Yeah, so I'm gliding into the colourful world of the coral reef, which covers less than 1% of the ocean floor, but are home to 25% of the ocean species. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Any height, any age inside. That is located in Future World in Epcot. Then you've got coming up on my screen, Disney and Pixar Short Film Festival. Experience popular Disney and Pixar short films in amazing 4D. Oh, 4D, we have that in cinemas in England now, but our seats are more comfortable than the theme park ones. It's any height, any age. It's dark inside. You'll enjoy it. You have interactive, like blowing air at you, water, your chair slightly moving. Yeah, so give that a go. I'm sure the kids will love that. Actually, I might try it because I've never done it. So that's Disney's and Pixar Short Film Festival. That's in Future World. Woohoo! Disney's Phineas and Ferb Agent P's World Showcase Adventure. So this is a World Showcase. It's any height, it's kids and what they call tweens. So test your secret agent skills by cracking clues to defeat the diabolical Dr. Doolittle. I can't say his name. I don't watch the cartoon, so don't kill me. People are probably slapping their head right now. Dr. Doofenshmirtz, I'm guessing. During a scavenger hunt. So that's going to be fun around the park for people to do. Yeah, getting a bit of fun. Don't always want to do the rides and don't want to watch shows. Kids just want to have fun and play. So yeah, that's a good one for them. Then you got Frozen Ever After in the World Showcase at Epcot. Voyage to Arendelle aboard an ancient Nordic vessel as you take a musical tour to the wintry world of Frozen. This is any height, all ages. Slow rides. There was one small drop what made my little niece cry, but everyone else liked it. All the other kids were fine on there, but she was Disney princess in the day. She didn't want to get her dress wet. So that's a great ride, Frozen Ever After. The indoor queue's pretty cool as well. So I do enjoy that ride, actually. As I said, that is in the World of Showcase. That can have long queues sometimes. I've been lucky and got on it in 30 minutes. Some people may think that's long, but for that ride, that's pretty short. After that, we've got the Gallery of Arts and History. Yeah, again, that's in World Showcase. That sort of gives away what that is. Grand Fiesta Tour starring the Three Caballeros. That is in World Showcase. It's any height. It's an indoor ride. You actually see people eating at the restaurant there as well when you're on that ride. So you can have people interacting and waving at you. Taking the sights of Mexico and the antics of three feathered amigos on a gentle boat ride through the Mexican Pavilion. Obviously, one of the amigos is my classic friend Donald Duck. Right, let's let it go, Frozen and everything like that. Let's move on to something else totally different. The House of Whispering Willows. This is yet again in the World of Showcase. Discover the wonders of Shanghai Disney Resort at a gallery featuring exclusive artwork for the newest Disney destination. Can I just say quickly, World of Showcase, you can get some amazing photo opportunities in there, people. So, you know, you can look like you're around different parts of the world. So always take opportunities of that. Yeah, again, if you've got the free photo pass, use it. Get the professionals to take the photos. Enjoy your time. Or take photos yourself and your phones these days. But yeah, again, that's any height, any age. And that is in the World of Showcase.
Now we're in ImageWorks, the What If Labs.
This is in Future World.
Let your imagination run wild in a creative play space where little ones can explore their senses. It's any height and all ages. So, yeah, that's going to be a fun place for kids to play inside and do things, you know, differently and explore, like, sights, hearing, touch, stuff like that. Then we, that is in, obviously in Future World, by the way. Then we got Impressions de France. Yes, the French people. Enjoy 18-minute film showcasing the grandeur and charm of romance of Europe's most enchanting countries. Obviously, France is any height and is all ages. That is in World Showcase 2. My accent, terrible. So let's get away from my really bad accent about France and let's go to Innoventions. This is in Future World in Epcot. Entertain your curiosity about science and technology. Hands-on activities where you are the scientist. All heights and all ages again, people. It's very well lighted in there, loads of colours and that, so it gets children excited, keeps your attention as well. So that's quite a bit of fun for people to do, I think. Well, let's get on to a ride. What I used to think is better, but, you know, I still like it now. Journey into the Imagination with a Figment ride. That's any heights. Again, you can do fast pass this ride. It's an indoor ride. It's quite a bit of fun. It's a slow ride. It can have dark areas, but yeah, I think it's fun. I think it's funny. Figment and the Playful Dragon. Figment, the Playful Dragon, I should say, is your guide on the delightful ride through Sensory Labs and the Imagination Institute. Another one we got is Mexico's Folk Art Gallery. Yep, another art gallery for people to have a look around and get a bit of culture. That's in World Showcase. We've also got the Kidcot Fun Stop. I'm not have a clue what that is, so I'm going to have a look into it now. So while we wait, collect stamps and create a personalized souvenir at these World Showcase craft stations. So it's a craft place. Any heights, preschoolers and kids that is for. You've got Leave a Legacy at the front of the park before the big golf balls, we all like to call it. People, I think 500,000 people had their face really small and their names put on there. So that's a good thing to look at for people. As I said, we've got Mission Space, two versions of this. It's a thrill ride. It's spinning, dark. You've got an intense version and a... not intense version. The intense version can make a lot of people sick because it has G-forces on it. I enjoy this ride. I always do the intense version. It's a shame it's not really totally interactive and you can't crash and lose because you always win at the end. It's a blast off in a thrilling simulator NASA-style mission to Mars or orbit the Earth on a more gentle ride through space. You have to be 40 inches on here, 102 centimeters or taller. Kids, tweens, teens and adults, it's a thrill ride, spinning in the dark, and this is in Future World in Epcot. I love it. A lot of people can't handle it because of the G-force, as I said. So they can't. There's two different colour lines, and one of them's got the G-force, the other hasn't. Here's something a bit different. I found boring. I'm sorry, anyone who likes it, but it's not for me. It's in the future. It's in Future World in Epcot. Any height, any age, slow ride. Living with the land. Cruise past greenhouses on a gentle boat tour and discover a surprising history of farming. Tell you the truth, I've never been interested in the history of farming. Again, using an excuse for your schools, for your kids. But to me, I'm bored on it. It's too slow. I just don't care about the history of farming. Sorry for people doing farmers out there. I'm happy for what you do. I'm glad you do it for us all. But it's not for me. So let's move on to Old Canada. This is a place pretty much, I'm guessing, everyone smiles, hugs, says sorry, likes you, and never gets in a mood. The nicest place on the planet, Canada, I swear it is. Take a whirlwind tour of our neighbour to the north during a Circle Vision 360 film. Any height, as I said, that's in the World Showcase. Let's get into the big golf ball. Project Tomorrow, inventing the wonders of the future. Build, create, compete and play in a series of exhibits that bring innovative ideas and technologies to life. That's any height and all ages, and that's in Future World. Right, let's try and get through a few of these a bit quicker and easier. We've got the Reflections of China, that's in World Showcase again. Journey through ancient and modern China during a spectacular 14-minute Circle Vision 360 film. That's any height and all ages. Then we've got Sea Base, that's in Future World. Explore the magic and mystery of life under the sea at this ocean-themed destination, home to fantastic aquarium. Any height and any age again? The Seas with Nemo and Friends. I love this ride. I like Nemo though, so it's got a little soft spot in my heart for this. Go under the sea without getting wet. On the gentle ride based on Disney Pixar's Finding Nemo, which finds Nemo lost again. Kids, need a leash. That's any height and all ages. That's a slow indoor ride. I love the ride. People, please do it. Then around that area, we've got in the Future World where Finding, obviously, Nemo ride is. You've got sea turtles you can look at and sharks and stingrays and things like that. Then we move on to Soaring Around the World, an old classic. A lot of people prefer the old video. I never got to see it, but I do enjoy riding this. You have to be 40 inches, that's 102 centimetres or taller to ride this. So kids, tweens, teens and adults. It's a slow ride with small drops. Take a flight on a breezy airborne adventure as you hang glide above a breathtaking wonders of the world. Really enjoy that. We're going back to the golf ball, everyone. This is for Spaceship Earth. Travel through time and explore the remarkable history of human communications from the Stone Age to Computer Age. The animatronics in this ride are brilliant. I love it. I could actually live in this ride, I think. I enjoy it a lot. I don't know what everyone else thinks about it, but this is one of my favourite rides. Maybe a bit of updating again. More future stuff in it. In the end video, could be better. Maybe base the video on Mickey Mouse and that instead would be quite funny. Yeah, that's what I would do with that. It's any height. All ages, it's a slow ride and it's dark. Usually I think it's 2 to a seated area. So that's Spaceship Earth and that is in a Future World. Then Test Track. I prefer the old version. But you know, it's not bad. The track bit's still brilliant. You have to be 40 inches, 102 centimetres or taller. Kids, tweens, teens and adults again. It's a thrill ride and it ain't slow. So if your children don't like a fast ride, this may not be the ride for them. Design a virtual concept car and put it to the test in a thrilling high-octane attraction. Yay, let's get back under the sea, everyone. Turtle Talk will crush. Future World again. Gather around a window to the ocean for a conversation in real time with your favourite tubular sea turtle dudes. Any height, any age, he talks to you. You talk to him, it's quite fun. This is obviously in Future World. So that's pretty much all the attractions and rides there. Extra things you usually have there, like the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival. That's 2020 now, and you've got the food and wine thing, what a lot of people do. Food and wine, you pay for like a special passport thing, and you get to try different foods and wines from around the world. A lot of people get drunk doing that, so that's quite fun. Yeah, World Showcase, as I said, go around different countries, get your photos taken, get to know parts of different worlds you may never go to, so it's worth doing. Also, a little game, what I was going to tell you about, drinking game around the World Showcase. You try and get an alcoholic drink. This is for adults. Alcoholic drink around the World of Showcase in every country, one or two drinks in it for every country, and see if you can do it. If you're a lightweight, you can't, but if you can drink, it's a great fun thing to do. Yeah, Epcot, I love it in there as well. I'll give this a 9 out of 10. I do enjoy it. Drinks are great in there, the alcohol and that. I don't know if I said about Epcot, you've also got a photo place where you can meet loads of Disney characters like Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse. So don't miss out on that. Yeah, Epcot, give it a go. It's a great day out. Your children get to learn stuff there, plus you get to have fun activities. And if you're just adults on your own, have a few drinks and have some fun. So that's me on Epcot Magic Kingdom. In a future episode, we will be going into Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. I'm gonna hold back on them until Star Wars is open to give it a fair crack. So maybe the next time I will talk about the two water parks at Disney Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon. So yeah, Epcot for adults and teens, well, specifically adults, can be very much fun for drinking. So I hope you enjoyed listening to what I thought of Epcot and Magic Kingdom and explained the attractions for you if you've never been before, and if you have, brought back some really good memories.
Podcast shout outs.
Okay, so this is Dick Spring, Chief Executive of the After Dark Podcast Network. You are going to listen to The Customer Is Always Weird, Discover DLP, Biff Baff Buff, Universal After Dark, Diz After Dark, Magical Kingdom of Walt, Time Limit Draw, 6 Year Seniors, Pop After Dark, Two Tribes, a Liverpool podcast, After Dark Halloween Adventure, Half and Half Scarves, Better Call Paul. Simon Says, SSDD, Breaking Bollocks, what the fuck? Everybody's got one. Morlando, the Orlando Addict, whoever that prick is. And that Kevin Smith View Askew Review. Don't forget my bench too, it's a shitty little effort, but there you go. I hope that fulfills my contractual obligations.
So my next podcast shout out is for two young ladies in America who tell ghost stories. They get into topics about the ghost and then they talk about it, and they can be scary stories, caring stories, or even, you know, loving stories or funny stories. They're pretty nice girls, they have a good laugh, they're really down to earth, I think, as well, and make you feel part of the podcast. They also have another show called Encounters, what comes out through the week, when they have their listeners send in their ghost stories, what are meant to be legit, and they read them out. Yet again, scary, loving, funny, all different types. But, you know, it's a really good podcast. It's called Two Girls, One Ghost. So if you want a podcast that's just about ghost stories and you want two people who make you feel like you're part of a community, listen to the Two Girls, One Ghost podcast. So here we go with the random chat. So Eden Hazard left Chelsea Football Club now for Real Madrid. I'm a Chelsea fan. I loved Eden Hazard and his skills. Gonna miss the guy. I hope the Real Madrid fans don't treat him like they treat every player they seem to by jeering and booing them when they have one bad game. Pathetic fans. He's been a great loyal player for Chelsea for the last 7 seasons. I wish him well. And we'll keep an eye on his progress there. Also, the time this podcast comes out, I'm guessing Sarri will have left Chelsea as well as head team coach. I wasn't a fan of his. You could say he had a great season. Finished third, got to a cup final, lost on penalties to Man City. Also won the Europa League. But his Sarri ball, to me, is crap. And I won't miss it. And the next manager, what I think will be Frank Lampard, will probably put Kante back where he belongs, defensive midfield. So that's probably the best thing for us straight away. I'm not too worried if we're on a transfer ban with Hazard and Sarri gone. We have enough youth players who I think are good enough. Also, we've got loads of players out on loan who we can bring in, like the Kurt Zoomers and that, who I think actually should be playing centre-back with Rudiger. So I think Chelsea will be okay for next season. I don't think winning the league's a possibility, but top four's definitely on the card still. If we can sign, though, I really think the club needs to get a quality striker in. We can't replace Hazard, but we can change the way we play as a team, and a top scoring striker, 20 goals a season, would help a lot. Also, as it's Friday, I'm going to see Men in Black International today. Early morning showing, so I don't have to put up with loads of annoying fuckwits. I can't see it as being as bad as X-Men Dark Phoenix I saw a few weeks ago. God, that was terrible. I don't ever want to watch that crap again. Well, I say a few weeks ago, I should say last week, really. But yeah, a lot of people are down on Men in Black International because there's no Will Smith. I think it's going to be good. I'm going to enjoy it. But obviously, I'm going to go and watch it, and then I'm going to let you know what I think about it. Yeah, so my thoughts on Men in Black International. I know some of the critics have said it's rubbish and shit because they can't get over Will Smith's not in it. Get on with it, people. Will Smith's not a bloody Oscar actor, really, is he? He's a good actor. He's not a great actor, so get over him. I like Will Smith. I think he's a funny man. I liked his rap. I loved Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. But Men in Black International, I thought it was actually a good movie. Not great, a good movie. It was funny. Side characters maybe not as great, but the main two I enjoyed. I thought the baddies were a clever idea, how they did them, with a little plot twist with them, with no spoilers in it. If I was going to say about the movie, I'd probably give it a 7 out of 10. So if anybody wants to go and see it, ignore the critics and decide for yourself. Just basically go in there, don't expect a masterpiece, just something to go enjoy and watch. Too many people want everything perfect now. Some movies should be sometimes just something you can sit down, watch and enjoy without overthinking. So, basketball, as Denny brought up, he thought the Golden State were going to run away with it. Well, as we saw, the Raptors beat them. I think it's 4-2 to the Raptors in games. Raptors are from Canada. So they're the first Canadian team to ever win the NBA basketball. Not hard, there's only three, I don't know how many Canadian teams are in it. I'm not a basketball fan. But congratulations to the Raptors for beating Golden State Warriors, who are an immense team. So I know a few people have been upset by it, but it's good to always see an outsider win it, like when Leicester won the Premier League. So yet again, congratulations to the Raptors. NBA basketball champions. Well, that's the end of another Orlando Addict podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. On the next episode, I'm hoping to have a guest again. From the After Dark Network, his name's Simon from the Simon Says podcast. He's going to be explaining to people about how to rent cars in Orlando and going through it quite details, because I've never rented myself, so he'd be quite useful to explain it. He's also another Orlando addict like me, so we're going to talk about what him and his partner love doing in Orlando, maybe if they've got any tips for anybody. He loves Halloween Horror Nights, so hopefully he'll be talking about what he likes doing at Halloween Horror Nights and a few tips on that as well, maybe tickets and everything else like that. So I hope everyone enjoyed this episode, and I will see you all soon. If you'd like to follow me, I'm on Instagram, Orlando Addict, also on Twitter, at Addict Orlando. YouTube is Baldville PDG CFC 79 videos. Facebook page, Orlando Addict. And obviously, if you'd like to ask me any questions, you can get hold of me either on the Anchor app, or you can email me on baldville@gmail.com. That's baldphillll@gmail.com. Baldville out.
Son of a whore!
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.